what the Lord has given to me this morning. And if you're new here this morning, then you're being brought in at this point, this time. We are beginning a holy and a consecrated time for the next 21 days, and we are going to be in a time of fast, and a time of fasting and pray for 21 days. To those who want to join, some of us will fast the entire time, every day. That will be Sylvia. Good to see you this morning, honey. Didn't see you. Did you just come in? Oh, we're so glad to have you back this morning. Bless you, darling. Glad to have you back safe. But we, this morning, during this time, it is Daniel's fast. It's nothing but fruits, vegetables, no pleasant foods, nothing processed, no meats. Amen. Amen. No meat. Somebody discovered in Daniel's fast that you could go to Burger King and get French fries. That's potatoes, isn't it, Pastor? No. That's processed, dude. So that's with animal fat or whatever the case is. And it's not the point of it. The point of it is not to see how much you can sacrifice. How you fast, and just real quick here, because I want to get into the Word. I have a lot to say to you this morning, and I don't want to belabor by just chit-chatting. But everything I'm saying to you, I feel is important. You fast by the direct need in your life, the intensity of what you are trying to break. You're not going to break certain things by a polite fast. And God had spoken to me in as the disciples came to Jesus with a concern because they were trying to cast out a devil from a young boy. They couldn't get it done. Jesus had already delegated unto them power. When they came back to Jesus and said, "We can't deliver this boy." And he said, "There are some things that cannot come out except through prayer and fasting." And so today we're going to discover, some of you are never going to hear some of the things I'm going to teach you this morning, because it's not just knowledge. Knowledge will not help you to overcome. What helps us to overcome, what gets us not just by but through, is revelation knowledge, rhema of God. So the things that I'm speaking to you this morning are things out of my spirit and revelation that God has given me. But you have to make a decision. And you'll hear me say it again, but you have to plan. It has to be poignant. And there has to be purpose. Amen? And so if you have not planned, if it has to be poignant, that means it has to be meaningful. Amen? What's meaningful to you, what means a lot to you versus to me is different. You can't say, general, this is what we're doing. Fasting is individual. So because fasting is individual, you have to take a look at that. You have to plan it. That is, you can't just look. You can't go through the day because you got busy and you didn't eat and say, well, I'm counting that as my fast. That's not a fast. Okay? That's not a fast. You know, I'm glad you did, but that's not a fast. A fast has to be planned. It has to have poignancy, that it has to have a meaning behind it. I'm going to give you those meanings. I'm going to give you the meat of that. You can apply it to your life. But there has to be a purpose. That is, why are you fasting? What is the end game? What is the end result of why you're fasting? Amen? Well, I'm just fasting that God will do something. Well, how many knows God wants to do something? You know, God's not sitting up in heaven going, you know, I'm bored. I need to do something. Are you hearing me? I mean, he knows he's the sovereign God of the universe. I mean, he knows that God does not sleep. I mean, he knows that God is continually working in our life. So we're going to learn that today. We're going to hear the Word of God. And I know some of you are thinking, like, fasting, a message? Oh, wow. You know, I'm glad I brought my iPad with me. Well, shut off the internet. So that's not what you're going to hear today. And you're going to hear the Word. So I want you to hear it closely. If you're taking notes, that's great. The message will be up on the message board later today, hopefully by Monday, no later than by Monday, that you can go to it. So this is the chapter 58 is what you are going to read every day till it gets into your spirit. I'm going to give you some spiritual things and some practical things. I'm not going to read the whole chapter of chapter 58. But in chapter 58 and verse 6, if you'll turn there with me, Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 6. Amen. I know that the snow kind of scared some people and made them a little bit hesitant. Some of our people who live in the outlying areas. Amen. So, I'm not going to be ugly. I just am not going to be ugly. Just I'm from up north. So, amen. This is like nothing, guys. Amen. And, you know, we allowed a little bit of snow to make some of these snow people happy. But enough's enough. Amen. Enough is enough. Verse 6. All right, so here it is. Is not this the fast? Amen? Everybody say it. Is not this the fast? I want you to say this with me. It is the fast. It is the fast that God has ordained, that God has chosen to loose, look what he says here, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke. Now, go with me here in Isaiah chapter 60. I'm reading some scriptures. This is another scripture that you need to take down and read. It's another word that God has given me for the church and for the county here. In Isaiah chapter 6 and 60 and verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But look what it says. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Verse 3, and here's the promise. And the Gentiles, come on, look at everybody. Look to the person to your right and to your left and say, you're a Gentile. Amen. You ain't no Jew. You're a spiritual Jew, but you ain't no Jew. Amen. The Gentiles shall come to thy light. The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea, the word there sea means people, the greatness of the people shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Amen. Now look with me, if you will, to Luke, I believe. Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Everybody say, Jesus is the pattern son. Look, guys, I just want to say something to you today is this. Once you get outside the pattern of Jesus, you get into scary stuff. Once you step outside of the pattern of who Jesus is, Jesus left us a pattern. Don't believe individuals who say that we are beyond certain things. We aren't beyond certain things. Why is that? Well, number one is I wish I had a mirror that we could look, but the easiest thing to do is to take your right hand and put it on your left arm, amen, and squeeze your flesh, not too hard, okay? How many knows you are still what? Flesh and blood. And how many knows that our warfare is not against, amen, flesh and blood? But we are in the flesh. But it's not contradictory. But there in Romans chapter 7 and in Galatians, he tells us that we war. The flesh warreth against the spirit. I said the flesh warreth against the spirit. Your issue is not God. The issue on the inside of you is not God. The very thing that lives within you, the God gene, the God nature in you, God is perfect. God is not codependent. God is not confused. God's not lost. God's not angry. God that lives within you, Jehovah God living within you, is perfect. And His ways are perfect. But the issue is not the God within you. The issue lies within yourself, within your soul, within your unrenewed thinking, within your flesh. Your flesh, my flesh, is the issue. Amen? Come on, church. The issue is me. The issue, we want to make the issue someone else. We want to take and we want to point outside of us. The issue is him. The issue is her. The issue is them. No, the issue is not them, he, or her. The issue is us. That's who the issue is with. And so the warfare is there. Know this, that God knew as a disciple of Christ that to be able to deal with the flesh, God gives us a means by which to deal with the flesh man. Amen? Amen. So here in Matthew chapter 4 again, look what he says. He returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. This is a 40-day fast. This is what we call a prophet's fast. This is without food or water. That's not what we're doing. It's not the point of telling you the length of the fast. It's the point that Jesus fasted. Amen? Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Come on, be patient with me. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them, Pastor's got some stuff he's going to give us this morning. Come on, tell them, Pastor got some stuff he's going to give us this morning. Look at verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, look, circle it, underline it, highlight it. Amen. Look what it says. It says, moreover, when, not if, says when you fast. So this is not something that he has done away with. Fasting is not past tense. Fasting did not leave because of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you something. Was Jesus full of the Holy Spirit? I said, was Jesus full of the Holy Spirit? Was he the Son of God? Was he God in flesh? Then let me ask you something. If Jesus fasted, can I ask you this question? Then pray tell, how have we grown past fasting for us? Amen? Fasting is not something that is prevalent in the body of Christ anymore. A lot of churches have done away with fasting. Now, this is a public fast that we're doing because we've announced it. But this year, what we're going to do out of this fast is that you're going to begin to ask God to take you into private fast during the year. That's when you won't tell anybody. That is something that you will do in your prayer closet. But out of this, I am looking for some believers to step into another level to where nobody knows that you're fasting. Nobody knows, because this is something you're doing in private between you and God. Amen? And so here he tells us in Matthew 6 and 18. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16, excuse me. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So we're not going to go into all of this. I think you know what it's talking about there. And so, you know, if you're looking for attention to fast, and you want a sad face, and you want somebody to pat you on the back and tell you you're fasting, I think you know what this means. Amen? All right, verse 17. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. Now, it doesn't mean in the constants literally here. It means that what you do is you do what you do every day. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying to you? And so in verse 18, that thou appear not unto men to fast. Because if fasting is doing that, if fasting is taking you to a place that is depleting you and you are becoming malnourished in the light, then what you're doing is you're reaching the limit of where you're at. God doesn't honor you because you die fasting. God doesn't honor your fasting because you become sick fasting. If you've never fasted before, then you have to move yourself through it with wisdom. You fast one day. You fast a couple meals. You fast one day. If some in this house just fasted Facebook for 24 hours, you would probably see the miraculous happen in your life. I just want to live in that moment just for a second. If you just fasted your negative tongue for 24 hours. Whoa. I ain't getting no help in here now, Jim. Amen. You stand behind me. Jim's my security. So I just want you to know you cannot hurt me. He will drop you like a bad habit. Amen. So say amen. So he knows you're not my enemy. Are you listening to me today? You're listening to this aspect. Why? Because what we are fasting, we're fasting those things that we war with in the flesh. We are telling the flesh, you will be set aside. You will be put in your place. And the way that we do it is that we do it through denying ourselves the very thing. Honey, just because you're big doesn't mean, or just because you're skinny doesn't mean that you don't have a problem with food. Food is not just an issue about weight. It is about what it does to you emotionally. If you eat or if you're doing things because it gives you comfort, you eat when you celebrate, you eat when you're sad, you eat when you're angry, you eat because you just want to eat, how many knows that is an addiction in the flesh? And we are dealing with our addictions. Amen? So that's what we're talking about today in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And I don't want to stay there long either. Again, these are scriptures that you're going to be reading every day. Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah chapter 60, then Matthew chapter 6, and then here in Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. I'm having fun. Look at here in Ephesians chapter 6. Not going to stay here long. Verse 12. He said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We are in a war. We are in a war against evil in this earth. I want you to know that Satan does not sleep. He is working 24 hours a day to enslave men and women, boys and girls, into the kingdom of darkness. But Isaiah chapter 60 is our promise that even though darkness and gross darkness has come upon the earth, how many knows that God's light is going to arise and shine? Honey, that's not a big flashlight out of heaven. The Bible says you are the light of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? You are the light of God. You are the light of God. The light of God lives within you. You're going to arise. You're going to shine. But Pastor, all I've got is just a matchlight. Darling, whatever light that you have that you think has been extinguished in your life is enough to bring light to the darkness that is in somebody else's life. The enemy wants to extinguish that light. He wants to put a cover over that. That's why he's brought the hurt. Why he's brought the wound to your life is to put a cover over the light of your life. Because that's what wounds do. That's what hurts do. That's what disappointment does. It puts a cover over my light. Because you know, when I'm hurt, I can't talk about Jesus. Because when I'm mad, don't expect me to be Christ-like to you. Amen? Amen. If you disappoint me, I can't show the love of God. You see, I know that all sounds contradictory. But see, the problem is that we decide this. Are we going to put a cover over our wound, over our hurt, or are we going to let our light shine into the darkness that's trying to overtake us? Are you listening to me? And in that moment, what happens is the light of God begins to shine forth in the hurt and the wound of our life. Look, nothing's going to take care of your wound and your hurt and your disappointments except the very light of God that is within you. You think the light has been extinguished in you, and I declare to you today, the light is never gone. Why, Pastor? Because He said He would never leave you. He would never forsake you. He would be with you even unto the ends of the world. Honey, your depth of despair is never deep enough. If God's got to go into the bowels of hell to rescue your life, that's what God's going to do. My God! Somebody help me this morning. What in the world are we talking about this morning? Fasting? This is a kingdom principle. To build the kingdom here, fasting is a principle. The secret weapon of the believer. Prayer and fasting is the things or cycles that need to be broken in our life. You can't do it without fasting. You've tried every other way. Fasting is the way. You see, in Matthew chapter 6, there we find the law and the constitution of the believer. That's what we're doing in Celebrate Recovery right now. It's how to govern ourselves in the Spirit. This is a lifestyle. That's the problem. We look at the things of Christ as being intermediate in our life. And I declare to you today that God wants to make this a lifestyle in us. Two of our strongest appetites are food and sex. Well, don't act like you don't do it, either one. And if you don't do it, you're thinking about it anyways. Either one. Amen? And it deals with those appetites. Fasting is not moving God, it's moving us closer to God. It's taking this thing that wants to exalt in itself, that wants to lift itself up constantly. Amen. How many knows that's what I want? I want my way when I want my way, and I usually want my way now. Fasting is refraining from food for a spiritual purpose. This is not dieting. When fasting, it should be planned, poignant, and with a divine purpose. It should be what? It should be planned, it should be poignant, and it should be with a divine purpose. Such as most of us have three specified meals a day, you need to plan your fasting like you plan your meals. Amen? When you fast, don't go in the closet away from everybody else. Come out and sit at the table. Amen? And even though everybody else is eating, if you've designed that time, don't sit there to prove yourself that you're fasting. Don't move yourself away from the temptation of food, but sit there and do it. But in that other time after, take that time and commit it unto God. Commit your time in the Word. Commit your time in prayer. Take your television, turn it off. Take your iPad and click it off. Take your iPhone and click it off. Take your phone and click it off. In that time, you commit and dedicate that time alone, totally to God. Amen? So, with purpose, you take one of those meals or more. And with a divine purpose, we have set, we refrain from food and we feast on spiritual things during that time. This is just my introduction. You are denying natural things for spiritual needs to be met in your life. In the Hebrew, the word fasting means the practice of self-denial. In the Greek, it means afflicting one's soul or body. Some people have taken it to the extreme, thinking that the physical affliction of the body will bring notice of God. I do agree that what fasting is, it is body language. It is something that is there. How many knows that faith without works is dead? I said faith without works is dead. What my faith does, it spurs me on knowing this. It is not fasting. It is not fasting in itself. It is what fasting does to my physical man. What it does to my soul. My body may be in pain because I'm fasting, but my soul is being told, you're not going to rule me any longer. You're not going to hold me captive any longer. What I have determined to do is I have determined, look, it's not just the denial of food, but it's in that time as you afflict your soul, as you're crying out to God. Because even though your stomach is hungry, your soul becomes more hungry for God. We've allowed food and we've allowed the addictions of this world to satisfy us. And the very thing that we're hungry for, honey, is not Pizza Hut or McDonald's. What we're really hungry for is for the food of heaven. For the manna of heaven is what you're really crying for on the inside of your life. And you don't know it because we keep trying to pacify our flesh man, thinking somehow it will pacify our spiritual man. Amen? Said, I didn't know I was going to get picked on today. Amen. We'll turn to somebody and say, you can't find a better place to get picked on than here. What are we doing? We're making space for God. Are you hearing me? See, we're making space for God. Sometimes all the other stuff, I'm not just talking about food, we're talking about all the other things. All the other things that we're doing. I'm not saying not live life. I'm not saying that we fast. We can live a fasted life 24 hours a day, every day of our lives. We can live a fasted life in the fact that we discipline ourselves and we live in moderation. But what I am saying to you today is that we're making room for God. We're making room for that place where we have filled it with other things. We're setting those things aside and we're making room for God to come into our life. Instead of satisfying my flesh, instead of patting my flesh, instead of soothing my flesh, instead of doing that which is, look, many times the very things we do are just avenues and vehicles of escapism. I'm not doing any big fat doobies anymore. We're not doing crack no more. We're not addicted to pornography anymore. We've just switched our preferences. Oh, hush. You can't scream at me. I can hear you. See, we just have replaced are addictions, and they have become fetters and bonds. They become oppressions in our life. See, what we've done, we've allowed ourselves to be swept away by the world that we live in. Because of advertisement, we believe something on television. We believe more of what an unregenerated newscaster on television tells us instead of what the Holy Spirit tells us. We have more faith in our money telling us what we can do. Our own money tells us whether we can give or whether we can tithe. We look at our checkbook and our checkbook says, don't be stupid. You can't afford to give. You can't afford to tithe. So therefore, we are governed and we are controlled by the very money, by the very jobs that we live in. But I'm here to tell you, God is saying to the church, look, it's time to make room for me. Hear what I have to say. It doesn't mean that God's going to eliminate everything out of your life. But what God is saying, make room for me. Put me back in my rightful place. Put me back up where it was when you first got saved. When you first received my Holy Spirit. Come on, put me back up where I belong. Take the other gods that you placed up there and that you're worshiping on a continuous basis. Pull them down. Put me back up. Lift me up. And watch me draw all men unto you. It's not just about salvation. It's about favor. Amen? Amen. Fasting is withdrawing from the normal world we live in. And focus on a specific area we need to break. Amen. You don't need me to tell you that. You know it. How do I know that? Because you deal with it every day. Amen? Amen. Nobody has to tell you about your ugly temper. Amen? I mean, if you lift your hands and your whole family flinches, you know. What am I saying? I said, hello. If you raise your voice and the cat and the dog find some place to hide, you know you've got an issue. It's time to quit denying. It's time to quit hiding. It's time to let God and make room for Him in our lives. See, we want a move of God. We want God to do more in our lives. We want the Holy Spirit to come by and sweep through our life. You can't earn that. But what we're going to have to do to hear God, we're going to have to deny this man and make room for the new man. Amen? It's emptying ourselves out. It is the body language to God. It's demonstrating to our hunger and for our hunger for Jesus. It declares our seriousness, our commitment, how we want things to change. Amen? Knowing I must change, I must have the right motive to be able to change. See, fasting is not for the purpose of getting God to do what we want Him to do. This is not a form of manipulation. Fasting is humbling ourselves before God. Fasting brings solutions to problems that cannot be easily broken in our life. Difficult questions that cannot be answered. Fasting brings us from a standing position. That position that says, I can do it myself. To a prostrate position of lying on my face decreeing, I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Every hour, I need Thee. Are you listening to me today? Fasting clarifies why I'm living the life of a believer. We are disciples of Christ. Disciplines once. Fasting is a discipline. It is a discipline, a part of the principles of the believer's life. Amen. See, we want to find every shortcut. How do I get the shortcut? What is the key that gets me faster to the information that I need? We live in the age that all I have to do is to go onto Google and ask the question. And immediately, within seconds, the answer pops up to my life. But I want you to know it's not always the same with the believer's life. There are times to where God says, no, you don't need the answer right now. You need to afflict your soul a little bit. You need to deny you a little bit. Amen. Not because I have left you or forsaken you, but you need to put your flesh under to be able to hear my voice more clearly and distinctly. There is no shortcuts. We are a disciple and we're learning to be disciplined. See, you focus on God for the answer instead of food. Be specific. What are you fasting for? Come on, write them down. If you're sitting here today and you're sitting in this service, you know it. You know the things that you're struggling with. You know the things that you're battling with. Amen? You know the secrets. You know where you hide. You know where you live. Amen? You can deny it all you want. You can have. See, some of us have perfected the way of being able to not pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying. It's not. I remember I had a girl in a church one time, and this girl just struggled with all kinds of things. And just amazing, because when she would sit in service and the Holy Spirit would begin to move, all of a sudden she'd get up and she'd disappear. Great musician, a gifted singer. And as long as she was sitting at the piano and she was playing and singing, she was fine. But to sit still, hello. See, there's that hush again, that quietness. Where does that come from? Amen. Like a little switch on you. Just, I know you're not turning me off. Amen. But are you hearing me today? And so she would leave. And I remember Pastor Karen telling her, said, look, do you want help? Oh, yes, I want help. Well, married, sleeping with people, had been abused as a child. All these things were going on in life. And she said, do you want to be helped? Oh, yes, I want to be helped. Then she looked at her straight in the eye and told her, Pastor Karen comes to you, and she's looking you in the eye, and she tells you, it's a lot different than when I tell you. You expect that from me. But if she decides to come to you and tell you, you better give heed. And she looked at her and said, you need to get into service, set yourself down, and don't leave. She didn't give her scripture. She didn't give her chapter or verse. She just wrote her a letter from her chapter, her book of knowledge and experience, and said, honey, if you want God to do something for you, you're going to have to learn to set and to listen and discipline yourself so that you can hear the word of the Lord. Do you think for a second that all the little distractions that the enemy brings your ways so that you will not hear what fasting does? It is the hardest thing for a believer to do. Why? Because food distracts. Food entertains. Food is that thing that brings you to a place, into oblivion. Honey, you can eat things that will take you into a high. There's foods that some of us eat that you eat that and it's like, ooh, yeah. Yeah, there it is, right there. Oh, some of you just looking like you are so holy out there. Well, I don't know what he's talking about. Some of you eat a piece of chocolate and be like, I'm in love. Kiss me, baby. Oh, yeah. See, we have went as far as we can go. See, we've run the gamut. We've run here, we've run there, we've run everywhere. You know why you're here? Because you have reached your limit. You have reached a house with a fivefold pastor. You haven't reached a house with a man who's just a good teacher. You have reached a man that prays for your life. You have reached a house to where that I'm not happy for you drifting along. I want you to come up into a higher place. I want you to find the secret place. I want you to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty God. I want you to be a consuming fire in the world that we live in. They've seen all the religion. They've seen all the religious ways. They've heard the messages on Easter and they've heard the messages on Christmas. But what they're looking for, they're looking for somebody who has a reality of Jesus Christ in their lives that will say what we need is a reality experience. And you're not going to do that as long as your flesh is glorified. Amen? Amen? Secret seeking. Yeah. Thank you. I'm not going to tell him. I don't want to share. You want me to share it with him? No, you don't want me to share it with him. See, secret seeking brings open reward. Look in Isaiah chapter 58. I'm not going to read it verse by verse. I'm going to give you some revelation here, and then you can go back and you can study. Verse 6. It looses the bands in what holds you back. Fasting keeps you from advancing. Okay, whatever is keeping you from advancing, you have gone so far, you've reached a ceiling. You can't get any further. You can't get past a certain place. What fasting does, it breaks that band. It breaks the ceiling that you're trying to go through. Why? Because it's in that place, that's in the fasting, that God deals with your life. You have denied your flesh. And let me tell you something. Literally what happens is this. When you begin, it's not going to happen in one day. You're going to have to get past 3 days. But after the third day, after you've cleared the toxins out of your Bible, out of your body, after you've cleared all the toxins out of your mind, after you've gotten the last bit of McDonald's and Taco Bell and all the rest of the stuff that you've poured into your body, what happens is this. Your body begins to awaken. Your mind begins to get clear. Some of you that are having problems with your memory, some of you that are having problems focusing, I want you to know after 3 days, when you begin to pour in to your body those things that are pure and not processed, what begins to happen is this. Your mind begins to become clear. All of a sudden, your soul begins to become clear, and you begin to hear clearer. See, that's what we talked about. We talked about is this, finding the portals of God. Finding the ladders. Finding the gates. See, you can't find it if you're blind. See, most of the time, you know, we just like a blind squirrel. Even a blind squirrel finds, you know, a nut every once in a while. Because he stumbles onto it. He can feel his way. But how many is tired of stumbling and bumbling? How many wants divine, clear direction? Then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to afflict your soul. Amen? You're going to have to afflict your soul. See, you know God has more for you. You know there is an answer, but all the distractions, all the white noise is cluttering your soul. See, that's the point. What fasting does when you stop listening to the television. Honey, I'm not talking. Look, you be as radical as you want about it, but don't get to the thing to think that God's going to reward your sacrifice. God rewards the fact of your soul becoming attuned to what He says. The distractions are those things that are pulling your time, your energy away from hearing God. The reason why some of us can't hear is our life is so filled with drama. We can't hear. We can't hear the voice of the Spirit because of all the white noise. Amen. Yeah. Let me put my glasses back on so I can see your face. See, we think it's love. Well, love never lets go. Love never lets go. You know, I gotta hold on. I can't let her go. I can't let him go. I can't let him go because if I let him go, that's not love. See, that's your problem. You can't distinguish between what God's love is and your codependent love is. See, you got so much white noise going on. Because of the drama in their life that's always chattering in your ear, chattering in your life, always telling you this, always telling you that, always coming to you, I need this, I need that, you help me this, help me here, I got to have this, I got to have that, always telling you all the troubles, all the struggles that's going on in your life, and then you feel helpless because you want to give them an answer, you want to be able to meet that need, but you can't, so therefore, they leave you frustrated, they walk out of the door, fat, dumb, and happy, and here you are, you wonder why you keep going to the doctor to get your Xanax increased. The doctor says, well, you got any added stress in your life? No, I don't think so. There's nothing new. No, just the same people. And see, you think it's God. Let me tell you something. You have to begin to make a decision. And you have to say, what is the white noise? What are the things that are constantly pulling me away from the presence of God? See, remember, your life is a short span of time. Amen. Remember my illustration of the white rope and the red at the end? You only have 70 or 80 years here. You have an eternity to live out. What you're doing here is in preparation for eternity. See, what you're doing, God is training you, teaching you here. See, I know some of you think when you get to heaven, you know, we're going to play hard, sit beside the river, whoop, cast a lot, you know, fish all day, you know, and sing hymns. Lord, build me just a cabin in the corner of glory land. Hello? See, you think that's what heaven is. Really? So God's a God of boredom. So how long do you think that fishing trip's going to last until you're out of there? About what, 2 days? If most of us make it that long. See, heaven is not a place. It's a place where stress doesn't abide. Anger doesn't abide. Lust doesn't abide. It is the absence of unrenewed flesh and your renewed immortal body. You think God has went through all of this to waste you on playing a harp and sitting beside the river of God, fishing for whatever fish is in the river of God. That's what we were made for. Fishing. Oh yeah, bro, I believe that would be heaven to me. Fishing. Really? That's cool. Hey, maybe God's got a holy fishing ground for you. That's going to be your thing. I don't know. But can I tell you something? I think God has more for us. See, what we're trying to discover is God's purpose and will for our lives. See, everybody else has told us. We have been told, if you come here and you do these little things, these things that are planned, and you walk through this catechism class and this confirmation class, and you do all these little things, and you come to church and you can sing, even though you go out on the weekends and you do your little thing and you live your own little secret life that you're living, it'll all be okay. But I'm here to tell you today, it's not going to be okay. It's not fine with God. God's not sitting up in heaven saying, whatever. See, he come along, stuck this, you know, big old preacher in front of your face telling you, no, it's not okay. God's not chilled because of your ill. God has something more for you. God is trying to prepare you. God is trying to prepare you for eternity. And what the church's responsibility and what our responsibility is to make you a disciple for Jesus Christ. You want to know why that you keep going back into the same cycle? Because your flesh keeps going into that same cycle. But to break the cycle, you've got to do something you've never done before. And what God has devised as a principle to break the cycles of our life, one of the principles is fasting. Well, food's not that big of a deal to me. Don't eat for 3 days. Drink water, but don't eat for 3 days. And we'll see how big of a deal it is. You're looking to off your grandmother after 3 days. Amen. Even at that point, you're willing to eat carrots. Some of you won't make it past 24 hours, but don't tell me that it won't afflict your soul. Don't tell me, because you're not talking to somebody who doesn't fast. This church knows it's a regular part of my life. It is something that I do. I know it don't always look like I fast, but looks can be deceiving. And I want you to know this. The only way you're going to be able to hear clearly about some things in your life is you're going to have to fast those things out. Fasting with prayer. Fasting with prayer is what breaks those cycles in your life. You tell that thing, whatever I've got to do to come to the place to become hungry enough and full enough of His Spirit so that God can finally break this thing off my life. The only way we're going to be surrendered to worship and to service unto God, there are many times the reason why we can't even come in and worship, because we are already full of all the other things that we worship. Filled with pain, filled with ourselves. Filled with the arguments that you had before you came here. Filled with drugs. Filled with alcohol. Filled with illicit sexual things and perversions in your life. Filled with all the other stuff. But I want you to know that God wants you to be filled with Him. He wants to fill you. He wants to make His life abundant in you so that you can know His fullness of His joy and of His love. Man, John 10:10, it's not a fairy tale. I've come to give you life. And I hope you find it. I've come to give you an eye drop of life. Here's a little taste. Always hanging a carrot out in front of us. Hope I can really get all God wants for me. Here we go. Tramping from one place to the other. Stop! Stop! This is the whistle stop. This is the stopping place. This is the place to discover the abundant life that God has for you. I've not only come to give you life, but I've come to give you that abundant life, that Zoe life, that life that's so full, that is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Man, it's a life filled with joy. It's a life filled with happiness and peace, even in the midst of the storm. Wouldn't it be great to go through a hard place and say, you didn't touch me this time. You didn't move me this time. My testimony is, but God did it for me. That in the midst of the hard place, you stood and your testimony was, look at what God has done. And what fasting does, it takes you from a standing position into a prostrate position. From a place I can do it on my own to that place is I can't do it without Him any longer. Amen? Amen. Ooh, I got 5 minutes left. Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm 5 minutes over. Amen. Thank God for the church police. Verse 6, it will undo the heavy burdens. The Hebrew there literally means to tear it off violently. It literally means that what fasting will do, it will give you that inner strength to finally rip it off violently and say, it's not going to be a part of me no more. Are you hearing me? See, we say, well, Pastor, I tried fasting, it don't work. That's because you had the wrong motive. The oppressed will go free. The bruised and the wounded will be healed. When we fast, He begins the process of healing in our life. Break every yoke, it says. Amen. Whether it's a bad habit, bondage, it is something that is destroying you physically. In fasting, God will begin to give you the answer. Whatever is destroying your health, shortening your life, destroying your witness, whatever is robbing your peace, you afflict your soul for God to begin the process of healing. Give bread to the hungry. You will break forth like the morning sun, it says. Some will finally dawn on you that the answers will finally come. See, that's what happens. There he tells us that finally the sun, the morning will break forth. There's a point in fasting. I don't know how long that is, Betty. I don't know how long that is, Joe. I don't know. Hey, I don't know what that is for you, brother. Brenda, I don't know what that is for you. Some of us are so desperate, honey, you might find it just by missing one meal, shutting off television for an hour or two. Some of us, it may take a while. But can I ask you something? You say, well, Pastor, I thought that Jesus paid the price. He did. But what life has done, it's engulfed us. We have been entangled by the affairs of this life, and we need to loose ourselves from those things. I look at some of you, I know that some of you have tremendously stressful jobs. But Pastor's not speaking from a place of a lack of knowledge. I wouldn't know. I mean, I have had some of the most stressful jobs, I'm telling you. Amen. I used to have dreams of coming into work with shotguns. Amen. Shotguns. One was never enough. I've been in both worlds, the church and the business world. But it took me a long time, Scott, to finally realize, you're doing this wrong, dummy. You're doing this wrong. You're doing the form and the ritual, but you're missing the heart of what I'm trying to accomplish. Amen? You're missing the heart of it. Amen? You're missing the heart. Some will finally dawn. Now is the time to find the answer. My health will spring forth, he says. In verse 8 and 9 there, it says, I will be a shield from anything that is confronting you. And I will be a rear guard to keep you. And a rear guard from any of your past enemies to catch you. You shall begin to get answers. Verse 10, I will bring you to success. Verse 11, I will guide you continually. This is Isaiah 58. This is the fasting chapter. Are you hearing me? Verse 12, I want you to see something here. And I'm going over a little bit, but how often does Pastor go over? I keep you guys 30, 40 minutes. And it's not that I control the Holy Spirit, but I'm always mindful on Sunday mornings that we have a large mixed crowd of people. But in verse 12, I want you to hear this. Our economic conditions, instead of paycheck to paycheck, this is what the Lord spoke to me. Instead of paycheck to paycheck, it will be from promise to promise. See, fasting brings me to a place that I realize He is my need meter, not my job. My job is not the one that's meeting my needs. See, some of you are deceived. Some of you have been fooled in thinking that your job is that which meets your need. But you have the wrong priority. That's why you keep living from paycheck to paycheck. But it's God. They give me a paycheck, no doubt about it. When I worked on a job, they gave me a paycheck. I never backed up to get it. But God has given me a promise. And He said, I will meet all of your need according to my riches in glory. You keep looking at your job and you think your job is going to meet all of your needs. And does it meet your needs? No. How many can say, man, you guys should have shouted out. You should have stood on the back of the chairs or something. How many knows your job doesn't meet all of your needs? That's because you're looking to the wrong bank. It's not BB&T. It's not Wells Fargo. It's not your job. You have a check, and sometimes that check comes, and that number says here, and your bills say, yeah, you're too small. Like Pac-Man. Because you're looking to the wrong place. He says here, through it, what I'll do, I begin to realize that I'm not alive and my needs are not met because of a paycheck, but because of the promise that He gave me. When you begin to believe the promise instead of the job that you work for, see, God's only giving you that money. Listen to me. You want to know why God's giving you a job? He's giving you a job for one reason. See, I haven't taught a lot about finances, but God's giving you a job to help propagate the kingdom of God. That's why. He said, I'll meet your need. You keep looking to the place that you work for to meet your need. And God's got other purposes for your money. But you keep taking your money and spending it on the wrong thing. And spending it in the wrong way. And then you wonder why there's not enough. And I am telling you that you're looking to the wrong place. Begin to look to the Father. And the Father will begin to meet your need. Well, what's He going to do, Pastor? Print me money? No, what He'll do is what you put in His hand, even though it may be small, He'll multiply it. See, you're talking to the wrong family. You're talking to the wrong family. We should not be as blessed as we are in the natural. But God supernaturally meets those needs. I got 11 people in my house. See, I know some of you think I am a millionaire, and I am. Amen. You won't be able to go to the bank and find it, but I am. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. But I want you to know something. If I depended upon this church to meet my needs, then I'd be angry at you all the time. I'd be mad at you. Just like a guy from New York, that pastor that was stealing from the church money, the offerings. I'm like, boy, what are you doing? Go get a job sweeping floors. Church ain't there to meet your needs. That's not what the church is there for. The church ain't you're not here to meet my needs and to be my little bless me club. You think I depend on your tithes and your offerings to bless me? Look, that's between you and God. That's between you and the Father. God is my need meter. God is my supply. God is my source. God has always been my source. Because I stay out of that business. Why? Because if I look to Him, then all of my need is met according to His riches and glory. My mortgage is paid. My house is paid. My cars are paid. Amen. There is always food on my table. My utility bills are always paid. I have clothes. My kids have clothes. My grandkids have clothes. We have everything we need. Not because I look to people, but because I look to my source and my only source, and that is God. Not because I'm not thankful for your giving and thankful that you give. I appreciate it. But we need to step up into another level and realize that you've got to, some of you got to have a mind change about money because you think you're right. You're not right. I'm leaving. Bye. I love you, but bye. But you're always going to live from paycheck to paycheck. Paycheck to paycheck. How about we begin to live according to promise to promise? Stop worrying. Stop worrying and start fasting. Do something. Do something you've never done before. Go somewhere where you've never been before. Go to a place in God. Rebuild the lives that have been wasted. Verse 12. Amen? I have a bunch of other things, but one of the things that I wanted to tell you today is this. Whatever you're going to do, do it because you're doing it for one reason. Do it because you planned it, because it has poignancy. There's a point to it. Amen? It has meaning to it. Don't do it if it don't have meaning. See, it doesn't really mean something until your body begins to become afflicted, until your soul becomes afflicted. So there has to be a plan. There has to be meaning to what you do. But what's the end game? What's the purpose? Those are the three things, the three questions that you want to answer. If you want all the formal teaching on fasting, that would be from Wednesday night. So between Wednesday and today, how many knows that we got the answers on how to fast? Amen? Amen. And why we're fasting. So some of you have started today, some of you will start tomorrow. Amen? But how many knows today is the day of salvation? Come on, stand with me today. You've been so patient, so kind.